Good evening and welcome to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have the Calf Killer Brothers. Do they call you that, right?
They do. Maybe? Sometimes the Beer Brothers.
The Beer or Beard?
Beer.
Because either.
We're low on beards right now.
Those could work.
They've got a pretty solid beard, but it's pretty short.
So the Sergio Brothers from Calf Killer Brewing Company in the studio tonight.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. So I am really excited to have you guys here and kind of tell your story. So you guys are not, well, you're kind of from here now. You've been here a while.
Absolutely.
Right? In Upper Cumberland.
We moved down from Wisconsin. The youngest of a six-person Catholic family. Not six-person, six-kid Catholic family.
You are the youngest?
No, Dave is the youngest. Okay. Thanks for saying that, though.
did you notice my shock in my voice? Yeah,
easy now, easy. I'm only 3.5 years older than Dave. Okay. He just looks better than I do.
I showered.
Right.
I actually showered this morning.
That's good. Okay, so Dave is the baby.
Dave's the baby.
Mm-hmm. And you are the next
guy
baby?
Up. Yep.
So, Don?
Yes.
Okay. So, and you moved here from?
Wisconsin.
In what year?
1980, believe it or not. Dave was 2 and I was 5.
You're kind of like Tennesseans now.
We're truly Tennesseans.
Yeah.
We love Tennessee. We believe in Tennessee.
And did you move to White County right away?
Absolutely. My parents still live in the place that we moved into in 1980.
Wow. And so, moved to White County, and at some point you had this vision to what?
Oh, we had a vision to work together.
As kids, did you always just kind of, were you of the six, the closest, the...
Probably. But we grew up, we were forced to work together.
Are you going to let him answer anything?
No, I'm never going to. I'm just kidding.
Standard.
That's not true.
He's just the pretty face of the operation.
He is. He looks good. Okay, sorry, but honestly, we just wanted to do something together, and we were forced to do stuff together because we grew up in a family construction business. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, and being the youngest of six, it's like... There's a decent age group, like age variation between all of us. It's like, you know, it's my oldest brother. He's 14 years older than I am.
Yeah.
And so by the time that I was turning 5, it's like he was going to college.
Mm-hmm.
So Don and I were around there because we were closer in age. And we just did pretty much everything together because we lived in the middle of nowhere. And we just kind of hung out and just had fun together.
You were just buddies playing around.
Yeah, pretty much.
Was it a farm? Is it a farm? Mm-hmm. Am I making this up?
No, you're not making it up.
Okay, so you guys were just kind of... And so did you think, yeah, we're going to start a business, some sort of business, whatever it is?
Pretty much. We actually discussed doing... We both love the drums. And so we discussed having some sort of refabrication of old drums and selling them business. But it was kind of just, you know, just...
Well, it's kind of a little more of a... it was a niche market, but it also is kind of a thing to where it's like, out of beer just sounded better.
Well, and you mentioned that you grew up in an entrepreneurial household. Your parents owned a construction company.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just kind of had that in your bones of doing that. Did you ever think of going the traditional route, going to college and getting a degree and working for the man?
Well, Dave has a degree.
I do, but I never had the inclination. I mean, honestly, until we had the idea of doing something together. We worked together in construction. I literally went to college, and then my goal was just I was going to be a carpenter the rest of my life.
So, what did you go to college for? That I mean, not that doesn't. I don't think everybody. I think some people just do it because it's what they're supposed to, quote unquote, do.
Yeah, and it's. I actually started. I was going to be an engineer. But I found out early on that math and I did not get along, which I kind of knew going into it. The mechanical side of things was easy for me, but it was when it came to that actual studying of math, it was not a good thing. And so then I find my way going through fine arts. So I was a painting major for a little while and then ended up in English journalism. And that's where I graduated with.
Painting major.
Yeah.
So interesting.
It does. I mean, the thing is, at some point, it's like, you know, because we always grew up doing art stuff because my mom, she would paint and things. And so it was kind of always there.
Did you have a plan with what you were going to do with a painting degree?
I was going to be a carpenter. It's like I was going to school. I went to college pretty much with the fact of that my dad, he never went to college. And he pretty much was like, all right, you guys are all going to go to college.
So you just, it was the thing to do.
Yeah. And so we went, and I ended up going and then finding journalism through getting an internship with WCTE. So I got into into the television side of things, and that kind of took me towards communications. And the communication degree at Tech was not really focused in television and or mostly radio. And so it was one of those things where I did as much as I could, ended up doing some stuff like writing for the school newspaper. I was editor of the yearbook because it paid $200 a month. It's like, why not?
Yeah.
And then ended up just graduating and going working construction.
Wow. We're going to get to Don's story in a second. In case you're just joining us, you're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton. I have Don and Dave Sergio from Calf Killer Brewing Company. So he's in school. You're 3 years older. What are you doing at the time?
Well, I had a little stint in school, too. I was more focused on playing rock and roll music, though, mm-hmm. honestly. So I was in a band that we grew up together, and we played several places all over the country. And
so you weren't staying here in Upper Cumberland as much?
Yeah, I was, actually. I ended up living in Murfreesboro for 1 year because we got signed to a record label out of Murfreesboro. And so, you know, all these things, you know, listening to Dave talk and me talk, and everything was preparing us for what we were about to do, which is beer.
Yeah.
So when we were out on the road, I would always go to the bars that we'd play, and you never got anything for free. You hardly ever even got paid because we were playing original music, which was not necessarily lucrative business.
Right.
However, either way, the great thing about it is at these bars that we would play, there was all kinds of weird beer. So, like, I got introduced to weird beer early on. And whatever.
And this is back in late 80s, early 90s, mid 90s.
No, I'm not that old, Tiffany. Come on now. I've got some gray hair, but I ain't that old. But
mid 90s?
Mid late 90s.
Okay,
mid late 90s.
Okay.
I turned 21 in 95.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Once that happened.
Because you never drank before you turned 21, right?
Yeah, heck no. Right. I mean, Catholic family from Wisconsin, never touched a beer.
Right.
No. That's a joke.
Right.
In case you can tell. But either way, so here I am. I'm looking at the beer list, and I'm going, I'm going to have the Bishop's Finger, you know,
mm-hmm.
Crazy British beers, whatever you could find that was cool. And like, so I got a taste for beer and kind of brought it not back home because I was always at home, sort of. I only lived in Murfreesboro for a year. Otherwise, I lived in Sparta or Cookeville because I did go to college for just a smidge. But I realized that after five majors and in five semesters, that I...
Maybe it wasn't for you.
Yeah, maybe not. You know, they don't teach beer in school
right.
at this point. So
I think they do now. They do.
Yeah.
Jessica Upchurch has a degree.
She does indeed.
So, yes. So they do now. They just didn't in the late 90s.
No. But they did... it was a kind of a self-taught thing, you know?
Yeah.
I know what I liked about beer, and so you just keep trying beers. And then at some point when you come back home, you realize, gosh, there's really no beer here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to run out of time because I love the story. But so, no beer. What year is this?
This is probably the late 90s.
And why is there no beer here?
There's no beer here because Dave and I were not making beer yet. No, I'm just kidding.
And there was really no market.
There was no market. And everybody
yes.
wanted Budweiser.
Yes.
And Dave and I would go into gas stations and say, hey, guys, can you get Sierra Nevada Porter? And they were like, let's try that. And they were actually... We turned some gas stations on to some beer.
And so at some point you go, okay, no one's doing it, so we're going to do it.
Right.
So we're going to start brewing some beer.
Exactly. And that's what we did circa 2001.
Okay. So you start brewing your own beer in your location that you're at right now?
Not exactly. We started brewing at my house. My wife and I lived in Cookeville. And so we started brewing at our house in Cookeville. And it was just, you know, basic homebrew kind of stuff. You
mm-hmm.
find whatever you can. John Bull liquid barley malt. I said Marley malt.
Marley malt.
You're a Marley malt. It's liquid barley malt. We did that a couple times, and then we switched into where we, you know, Dave and I, being foodie type guys too, we like to make stuff to eat or to consume. We thought, you know, there's more to it than this, so we crafted a 5-gallon all grain homebrew batch out of kegs that we'd collected.
So at that point, you're making these, you're brewing at home,
mm-hmm.
and who's drinking this beer?
We are.
Just you, I mean.
Not, I mean, we would take it to our, you know, we'd have family functions and stuff. So we were
with six kids, and probably people are married, and there's 12, 20, you know.
It never lasted long enough.
It could easily, yeah. So you're just brewing a bunch and just kind of hanging out with friends and taking it around. So at what point do you decide we're going to make a business?
Well, there's many years in between that. Dave, go ahead. You speak for a while.
It was sometime around, you know, just all the brewing and stuff, lending from 2001 to, like, say, 2005.
And you guys have real, like, quote-unquote real jobs at this time.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. This was always just kind of a side hobby thing that we would just do. We would get together on Saturdays, and we would just brew beer. And sometimes it was ended up being, it would be 50 gallons of beer in a Saturday, and we'd start at 5 a.m., and by 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, we'd have 50 gallons of beer fermenting. And then we would go through, and we would do that, I don't know, a couple times a month. And then that beer would just go out, and we would go... You know, we would build beers for people's weddings, for parties, for functions, and things like that. And so it just kind of got to be a thing to where we were getting the beer out there in front of people, and people were enjoying what we were doing. And so by 2006, it's like we kind of hatched the idea of going through, and instead of working side jobs in construction, we would take and we would make a small little brewery and be able to brew beer as our side job. So keep our construction day jobs, and then be able to brew beer on the weekends and nights, and then be able to go out and serve these functions, serve these parties, and actually be able to sell it to people instead of just taking donations or, you know, giving it away or people buying grain and then us building beers for them. We could actually go out and make it into some sort of a side business by doing that, which led us to the first hurdle of government hoops.
And there, I mean, you revolutionized this area. What you guys did revolutionized the Upper Cumberland of just, and at any point did you think we're going to find some hurdles and we're going to keep going and really fight against the man?
That's pretty much what it was. We didn't realize that we were going to have to fight against the man because the way that Dave and I had read the laws, albeit there was no, we didn't ask anybody. We're just saying lawyer speak is interesting when they put words together. Like if they say store and sell, they mean store and sell. If they say manufacture and distribute, they mean manufacture and distribute. So we kind of thought, well, I think this is legal, but let's take it to the beer board and see what they say. And what they said in our first beer board meeting in White County was that we don't know if this is legal or not. Why don't we get the opinion of the Attorney General of the State of Tennessee, and whatever he says, well, maybe we'll just go with that. And we thought that was pretty fair. So Dave and I write a letter to the Attorney General of the State of Tennessee. He writes us back. He says that we can manufacture beer because we could not sell it. We understood that. But we could manufacture it in our little barn, essentially, is what was going on there. And so then we went back to the next beer board meeting after getting the Attorney General's opinion, and the dudes said this. Davey.
We're gonna
wait till after the break.
Yes.
We're gonna leave you hanging.
A big cliffhanger there.
What happened.
We'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back. You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and I have Don and Dave Sergio from the Calf Killer Brewing Company. The Calf Killer? No, just Calf Killer.
Sometimes you can put the in front of anything.
Okay.
Sounds good.
So we just got to the point where you guys write a letter to the state, and the state says...
So it comes back, and the state sides with us. And then we take it to the beer board meeting, and the three guys, they kind of look over the little letter, and they're like, well, boys, that's just his opinion, and he don't live here, and so we're gonna deny your beer permit. And so that's what happens. And so basically, after shaking hands and making a deal with these guys, it ended up going through. they ended up going back on what they said. And so at that point, Don and I had to go through, and we ended up having to hire an attorney, and we sued the White County Beer Board for our beer manufacturing permit.
I mean, again, here's, you know, just guys that grew up in a construction business, and you're suing county guys. And probably these guys that their mama's mama's mama grew up in White County.
Oh, for sure.
And you guys, your parents came here in 1980. That's tough. The small town politics, I'm sure, weighed heavily on things.
Well, and that, and just dealing in alcohol. I mean, we were still, White County was still a dry county. You couldn't have beer. You couldn't have tap beer in an establishment. So there's no restaurants with beer. You could buy beer at a gas station or convenience store or a grocery store, but it's like there was no beer just kind of there for people to just go sit down and have a, you know, a beer with a dinner.
And this is 2006.
Yeah, yes.
2006, 2007.
Which I grew up in Michigan in a Catholic family as well. And so that just blows my mind in 2000. I mean, because I'm pretty sure in 1982 you could sit down and order a beer.
Right.
So that just, it seems very foreign to me.
Yeah.
So you guys kind of, you sued the commission. You won?
We did. A license that should have taken a couple weeks and a couple hundred dollars took us close to a year and several thousand dollars just because we had to get all that stuff kind of taken care of.
Why did you... What made you keep going?
Because we like beer, and it needed to happen.
I mean, you could have just kept drinking beer, making it in your garage, and drinking it yourself and your friends.
Yeah, that's a good question, really. I guess it was, we knew that we would do it at some point, because the law was on our side. Keep that in mind. The Attorney General said that we had the legal right to do what we were trying to do. It was just we had to deal with some folks at home. Which yeah. We had meant no harm to in any respect, but I mean, it's...
But even that, why even go to the state? What made you go to the...
Well, that was the deal that we made with them. They were the ones that said, hey, whatever the Attorney General's opinion is, we'll go with that. That was the deal we made with them.
You must have felt some passion to think, oh, we have a chance here, instead of just saying, the state's kind of a big deal.
We understood what was making them make their decisions.
Yeah.
And that was not the law.
Yeah.
It was more like... You know,
it was what they thought. It was what they thought their moral law was.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But that's not how the law works.
Yeah. So you guys kept going, and you just felt passionate about, okay, we have the state on our side, so we're gonna just keep going and kind of pursuing. You mentioned that there were other hurdles that you encountered.
Some of those were the next. Once we beat that hurdle right there, we got our beer permit from the.
So they said you could manufacture beer.
In White County, but we still, that doesn't mean you can manufacture because you're still a state permit and a federal permit you have to get. So we went for the federal permit, and we ended up having a misunderstanding with them, essentially. And then we decided, because we were going to have a tiny little brewery, it's going to be 60 gallons. We were going to have some for the family, some for some functions. We'd go out and party with people, and then we would have some...
There was a hands up, like, raise the roof on that one.
Raising the roof, you. And then we'd also have it to where maybe a couple places would carry the beer on tap, say the Foglight and some other place. We'd have the beer on tap, right? And that was our first original goal. But after meeting with the federal government, we decided that our plan was too small, and we decided that maybe someday, maybe we should quit our day jobs. Because our plan was to keep our day jobs with our right. family business mm-hmm. that we'd been with for 20 years, whatever. And maybe not 20 at that point, but maybe 20.
Yeah, it would have been.
Yeah, probably 20 years. Funny stuff. But anyways, our plan was to do that, but we ended up going back and rethinking it and going, well, let's just build it bigger. And so in 2007, we started building over the top of our little horse barn a new barnish structure that was going to house a 7-barrel brewery, which is what we have now.
So you decided... Don't think small. Let's really, if we're making a difference here, we're taking this dry county and we're kind of changing the landscape. We've
already jumped some hoops. Why don't we just keep on? Let's make it bigger.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to Don and Dave Sergio from Calf Killer Brewing Company. So you start brewing, you have a little tap room that people can come to at that time.
Not really, Dave. Go ahead.
Well, we couldn't. So by the time we get through everything, we end up having to go with the federal government. We go to the state. We have to set up two businesses because we have to have distribution and beer. So we do the beer side of things as Calfkiller Brewing Company, and then we started another business called Grassroots Distributing, which gives us the ability to distribute beer outside of White County because we couldn't sell beer in White County. So we had to get it outside of White County.
It's a great business plan.
So you actually first were, could make it and not sell it.
Correct. And we ended up dealing with the state, getting both licenses to have a distributorship and a manufacturing place, which still to this day, it's like we're the only brewery to actually have its own distribution company.
I'm going to stop you here because there's a lot of details and a lot of dates and all that. How did you know what to do?
We didn't.
And I mean,
we just kind of fumbled through it. They didn't know either. That's the funny thing about the state. Since we were the first brewery that had its own distribution company, nobody knew what to do with us. And so it took a long time to get that license, but it was legal at that point.
Who even had the idea knowledge?
We knew we had
not going to get you. Yeah.
We knew we had to.
I was a journalist.
Instinctively, we knew we had to get to the point where we could be the dudes out on the front line selling the beer, because otherwise, what most people do is they put their beer on a truck with some dude that they don't know, generally, and they take it around. They don't have any love or passion for the beer itself. So Dave and I knew instinctively that we had to be the guys behind the beer so we could show it to people and tell them about it and get people excited about Calfkiller beer and whatnot. So
you're clearly real passionate about beer. Right.
We are. We like beer.
Well, Don seems a little bit more than Dave, maybe, but maybe Dave's just more reserved.
Dave's being reserved tonight. His hands aren't moving yet.
Oh, they're
a little
not
more reserved.
Oh,
they were.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
I wasn't picking.
Where do you get the business knowledge? I mean, the legal knowledge, the business. So I say this about all entrepreneurs. You're so passionate about your craft, but there's a lot more to running a business than making beer and drinking beer.
There is.
And telling people how cool your beer is. So where do you find that knowledge to, first of all, figure out how to get it right legally, how to, distribute to overstep some hurdles? Where did you find, Google wasn't what it is now. Mm-mm. So you're not like Googling, like, how do I distribute beer?
There wasn't even publications out like there is now. It was like a beer dead zone.
So how, your dad has some business skills, I guess.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I think the thing is, I think we knew what had to happen. We knew that we had to make beer. We had to distribute beer and we had to get beer into bars. And so when you get beer into bars, it's like, you have to go meet with the owners. You have to meet with the bartenders, the waitresses. You have to meet with all these people, and then you have to go through and you have to figure out how to clean tap lines. You have to build tap handles. You have to build signs. You have to do things like that. And so we kind of just instinctively kind of knew that that's what, because we had seen all these things from drinking beer in bars all over those years. It's like you'd kind of see, okay,
the process.
There, that's, yep, that you'd see a guy rolling a keg on something. It's like, okay, cool, we need a dolly. It's like, we need this. It's like you kind of bring all this stuff together and just starts making, at some point it starts making sense.
Yeah.
And so you kind of get everything pulled in to the idea of what needs to happen.
And you fumble through a lot of it, honestly, in the beginning, paying the taxes and stuff like that, which we get our butts taxed off. I mean, we keep the school's lights on.
Yeah.
Honestly, a tiny little business. Dave and I still don't pay ourselves. Our salaries combined still don't equal to the taxes we pay in a year on our tiny little brewery.
Wow.
It's amazing. And but you have to... It took a long time to learn that stuff.
And how far are you distributed out of White County?
We go to all the way to Nashville, which we do not do our own distribution in Nashville because nobody wants to drive down there. And you may get shot. I don't know if you know. But anyways, we go to Knoxville and in Chattanooga. So we kind of all the big towns and then a lot of small towns in between. Mm-hmm. Dave and I's plan has always been to bring good beer to regular folks. And that's what we aim to do at the very beginning. We believe that everybody is capable of enjoying a high quality beverage.
Anything else before we wrap up our last 30 seconds, anything else that you guys want to say?
Yeah. If you've never been to the brewery before, please come out and visit us. We're open from 10 to 4 every day, but Sunday. Sunday's family day. Come out and visit us. It's a nice little spot. And we're always doing something a little different out there. Always got four beers on tap that run the color gamut and the hop and versus malt gamut. And we actually are the home of the free flight. We give you samples of beer. You get four samples of beer for absolutely nothing out of your pocket. And we do that because we want to educate folks on why they're tasting what they're tasting in said beverage.
And you are so passionate about your business. I don't know that I've met some really passionate entrepreneurs, but you can tell like you really love what you're doing. So thank you guys for coming in tonight. I really appreciate it.